Hello, this is Ken Smith welcoming you to our Bringing a Message radio programme brought to you by the By All Means Gospel Trust from Solihull, England. Before today's message, I want to tell you about our Break and Meditate booklet of short daily readings, based on a verse or part verse from the Bible. Maurice Payne has been writing these short meditations for 27 years now, and people from all walks of life have written to tell us the blessing they have been. They are quite short, and I have asked Hilary to read one of them to you.
He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Philippians 1 verse 6. Have you begun your life's work for God? Are you in his hand like a piece of clay to be moulded by the potter? Progress may seem slow, but take heart from this assurance that what God has begun, he will perform or finish. The rehearsals may be long and the preparation tedious, but God will smooth the rough edges and polish the tarnished surface until it shines forth his glory. It is not learning all about the Christian life, but taking Christ into your life and making him Lord that matters. Then every detail is under his direction, and every moment moving towards the fulfilment of all he has begun in you. And everything the Lord does is desirable and good.
Break and Meditate booklets are sent quite free of charge, either by email or by post. Write today and we'll see that you get a copy. Today we continue our series entitled Practical Christian Living, based on the last three chapters in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. The followers of Jesus need to live the Christian life, not merely to say they believe it. Today's message is entitled Walk Circumspectly. We believe you will be helped and blessed as you listen to this message. Maurice Payne is the speaker. Hilary is reading the scriptures and making the closing announcement. Music is by Peter Jackson and singers. If this program is a help and a blessing to you, we would like to hear from you. Our mailing address is BAM Gospel Trust, Box 7778, Solihull, B927AG, United Kingdom. We shall repeat this address at the end of the broadcast and give you our email address.
The title in today's Practical Christian Living series is Walk Circumspectly.
See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Ephesians 5 verse 15, Authorised Version.
To walk circumspectly means to walk or live carefully, taking all the circumstances into consideration. This is yet another important injunction in what is a very practical part of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Walking, or living, is a practical thing, isn't it? Nowhere is this more so than in the Christian life. We may write and preach about it and describe it in theory, but all is in vain if we do not put our Christian faith into practice. Now, the need is to take all circumstances into consideration because they change from one generation to another. The Christian faith is the same, and our Lord and Saviour is the same. In fact, he is well able to meet our need in whatever changing circumstances we find ourselves. But in this age of the computer and space technology, there's a big difference between that of the steam engine and the Industrial Revolution, which in turn is vastly different from the days of the first century. In the days of the early church, dress, way of life, standard of living and outlook were greatly different from today. But both the early Christians to whom the apostle wrote, and those who've gone before, and disciples of Jesus today, need to walk circumspectly. Increase in knowledge hasn't diminished the need for care. In our present age of mass media news coverage and the removal of many restraints and the loss of teaching moral standards, circumstances in which we find ourselves have changed. In many cases, this does demand some different response from the Christian, but more than ever before, there is the need to walk circumspectly or carefully. We need to be practical in our Christian walk. New situations demand new reactions. The warning, be careful, that we so often give to one another and especially parents to their children, is of little real value if the person concerned is unaware of the dangers likely to be met and of the way in which care needs to be taken. It's rather like saying take medicine for a condition yet not stipulating what medicine to take. We can expend care on things that are of little importance while neglecting those things that really matter. So, it doesn't need much imagination to see that these words of the apostle apply to us today. One version says, be very careful then how you live. And all who are aware of the modern world in which we live must recognize the need for being very careful. Our adversary may have changed his appearance, but the devil still stalks as a roaring lion seeking those believers whom he thinks he may devour. The Apostle John said the whole world lies in wickedness, and as it was then, so it is today. So we can give four reasons why we need to walk carefully. First, let us look at positive steps we need to take. The thief moves carefully so that he may not be caught. The embezzler may likewise exhibit uncanny care and skill in order to cover his tracks and not be caught. The Christian's care is directed in the opposite direction. Care that which is good shall be made manifest and known. There are some clever fools, but their wisdom only enhances their foolishness. Be very careful, writes the Apostle Paul, not as unwise, but wise. In other words, more than just wariness, wisdom is needed for us to be careful too. Now, as Christian walkers, we need sanctified wisdom applied as diligent care. We need to buy back lost opportunities. It is by walking carefully that we make the most of every opportunity. Few, if any of us, have not missed opportunities in the past. We have not done the things we ought to have done is a cap which fits us all, with the result that we are like account holders that have allowed our account to become overdrawn, and if we are to make good the debt, much care will be needed to grasp every new opportunity. But the Lord promises to restore the years the locust has eaten. And this means, time-wise, to clear the overdraft we have run up or to make up lost time. Redeeming the time, are the words we find in the Authorized Version. And this means we shall not put off for tomorrow what can be done today. Neither shall we say, I won't do it now, but will await another opportunity. If I grasp the opportunity given to me now, I may expect to receive further opportunities tomorrow. So listen what the next two verses in this epistle say.
Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
So besides buying back lost opportunities, we must understand God's will. The search is not for what I can do for God, but for what His will is for me. Making what I consider to be my contribution isn't what is required. My quest must be to understand what God wants me to do. Such understanding, the Apostle writes, is the possession of the wise. People who in unbelief live without reference to God are fools. We know God's will, that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of the truth. This is a general statement, and one that precludes anybody from saying that God doesn't want them as his children. Once God's love in Christ is acknowledged and accepted, and the call to discipleship obeyed, more of God's will is made known. It is God's will that his child be sanctified or set apart for his service. Listen to this verse from the letter to the Thessalonians.
This is the will of God, even your sanctifications.
Only vessels set apart by heart cleanness are fit and ready to do his will. It's God's will that by doing good, the Christian should put to silence the voice of foolish critics.
For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. 1 Peter 2, verse 15.
In one way or another, it is God's will that his followers should suffer and commit themselves into the hand of the Lord when called upon to do so. Now, these are some of the general aspects of God's will, but beyond this, there's God's special will, whereby each of his children fill out the place of his kingdom allotted to them. To some, this is described in outline beforehand, examples being Jesus' words to Peter describing the death he was to suffer, and the Holy Spirit showing Saul of Tarsus how great things he must suffer. God's special will may not be the path a person would choose, and it is here that faith and discernment may be needed. In some situations it is particularly difficult to discern the Lord's will. In some lives it is the understanding of what is revealed that presents special difficulty. In all, an appreciation of God's will carries with it the responsibility of fulfilling what is required. What follows for one doesn't necessarily hold for another. When something of God's will was revealed to Peter, he felt constrained to talk about John. And this brought a rebuke from Jesus. What is that to you? He asked. Peter's job was to follow the light given him and to do the will revealed to him. And then prayer, the study of God's word, and waiting upon the Lord, this is a safe tripod on which to learn in understanding the will of the Lord. Prayer isn't just petitioning or asking for things for ourselves or for others. It's vital communion with the Lord, and as such, it's a quality we all could develop more. The Word of God is the bedrock upon which our plans need to be laid. Ignorance of it is grave omission if we would go forward confidently. Life has many unanswered questions. And understanding what the will of the Lord is doesn't always come quickly in the maze that often confronts us. But to understand it is important if we are to walk along the path he has planned. Knowing God's will is essential if we would proceed with care and in safety. Then what else do we need to walk circumspectly?
And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 18.
This is the last of three positive steps which are to replace negatives. The first, don't be foolish, but wise, redeeming the time. The second, don't be unwise, but understanding the will of the Lord. And now thirdly, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The preacher in Ecclesiastes said, wine makes merry. And for those who know nothing better, there can be the continual need to resort to it. But its action is merely that of a palliative. It dulls the mind, but does nothing to alter the circumstances or improve the person. We note that the first impression upon those who witnessed the behaviour of the apostles who were filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost was they thought they were drunk. Why else did Peter say, these are not drunk as you suppose? It must have been their unbounden joy and rejoicing, and of course the sound of the many tongues in which they praised God that gave this impression. But while the effect of alcohol wears off and one is back to one's former state, the effect of the baptism in the Holy Spirit did not wear off, but the new life and power may be seen on every page of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Looked in this light, it is easy to see that the Holy Spirit in the believer should do away with the desire or need for any intoxicant. Indeed, life in the Spirit is one of joy and delight that supersedes any other pleasure or entertainment. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. He glorifies the Lord Jesus. In another letter, the Apostle describes the kingdom of heaven as
righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14, verse 17.
The disciple receives power when the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And only in that power may he or she become an effective witness. Speaking of the days that were to come, and speaking to his disciples during his earthly ministry, Jesus said,
it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. Matthew 10, verse 20.
In the light of this, it surely is not surprising that in pursuance of the need to walk carefully or circumspectly as Christians, the Apostle urges his readers to be filled with the Spirit. Anything less than this is like settling for a ticket for heaven with no assurance that you'll ever be in a fit state to arrive at heaven's gate to use it. Be very careful and be certain to live the life of a Spirit-filled Christian. And now listen again to these words from the book of Ephesians.
Speaking to yourselves in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. Ephesians 5 verse 19.
Speaking to yourselves means speaking to one another. And this verse leaves us in no doubt that a verse can be inspired just as prose and a song can be inspired just as a sermon. We should know this, of course, from the inspired words of the psalmist. What is most interesting here is Paul's reference to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Whatever specific meaning these three descriptions conveyed to the readers of his day, it's obvious that there were at least three distinct types of inspired melodies. It may be that all three would sound somewhat removed from music today if we heard them, but that's not the point. What we must realise is that a melody can lift the heart in praise and singing. The sound of music can raise the flagging spirit. We know the disciples sang a hymn before they left the upper room, and singing in this way may well have been something they all did regularly. Now, If sung melodies can play such an important part in the inspirational life, it behoves us all to choose carefully these songs we learn and sing. If a life in the Spirit is contrasted with drunkenness, we might compare the song of the redeemed with the song of the drunkard. Both are singing, but while the one is from a heart filled with praise and thanksgiving, the drunkard's song is empty and devoid of any merit. An inspired melody can lift the spirit above its depressing environment. It can put to flight the devil and his temptation. It can be a stimulus to greater effort and achievement. Now, as part of a careful Christian walk, let us make melody in our hearts to the Lord. We can't pass on without remarking about this melody in your heart. Not all possess a sweet singing voice or would describe themselves as musical. But all who experience the grace of God in their life may have a melody in the heart. It's as though the heart is singing. This joy may express itself in singing, humming, whistling, and in being generally happy. And now, again from the letter to the Ephesians.
Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 20.
Thanksgiving is an important part of the Christian communion, just as prayer and petitioning God's throne is. We are needy creatures, and in his or her spiritual warfare, the Christian has great need, which only God can supply. But it should be a characteristic of those who've responded to God's great love in Jesus that they recognize and appreciate God's daily and bountiful blessings upon them. In the way he lists thanksgiving as a factor in walking circumspectly or carefully, we see firstly to whom our thanks should be addressed. Secondly, when and for what we should be thankful. And thirdly, the manner in which our thanks are to be presented. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Recognizing then that the Lord is good, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly, our thanks should be addressed to God the Father. It was the Father who sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Every good and perfect gift is from the Father. God is faithful. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. And it is to the Father our thanks for all the good we enjoy should be addressed. You remember Jesus thanked his Father when praying in public, and so should we. Then we are to give thanks at all times and in everything, as the Apostle writes, in everything give thanks. If Paul and Silas could pray and sing praises unto God when thrust into the inner prison, if Stephen could look up into heaven and see the ascended Jesus standing on the right hand of the throne, and if the disciples rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer beatings in the name of Jesus, we may be sure to be thankful for God's great goodness to us these many years later, both in revealing his Son Jesus to us and in keeping us safe from the evil one and moulding our lives into the likeness of Jesus. The manner in which we should present our thanks to God is in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3, verse 17.
And now finally, let's hear again from the letter to the Ephesians.
Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Ephesians 5, verse 21.
The final area in which care is to be exhibited is that of our relationship one with another. Submitting yourselves one to another is the injunction given by the Apostle and a description of the applications of the relationship occurs in the remainder of this letter until we reach the final summing up in the 10th verse of the 6th chapter. The matter of how we relate to others is of prime importance and one which affects us all. To live peaceably with all men, to love our neighbour as ourself, these are two of the greatest demands made upon us. We are individuals, and as such are responsible to God, yet we need each other. The submission we are to show one another is one of respect and appreciation, and is the outcome of our own relationship to Christ. Enough to say, walking circumspectly or carefully will mean we grasp every opportunity, we understand the Lord's will, we are filled with the Spirit, and are a praising and thankful people and in good relationship with those around. May God give you grace and give me grace to walk in a manner pleasing to Him and of blessing to those around us.
The Bringing a Message program you have just heard is produced by the By All Means Gospel Trust, based in the United Kingdom. We are always pleased to hear from our listeners, and there are several ways you can contact us. You can write to us at BAM Gospel Trust, P.O. Box 986, Bourne, B-O-U-R-N, Cambridge, CB23, 2YX. You can email us info@bringingamessage.org, or you can use the response form on our website's contact page. To hear this program again or to find out more about the Trust's work and publications, go to our website www.bringingamessage.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. One of our publications is called Break and Meditate. This contains short comments on a verse from the Bible, one for each day. This is available free either as a booklet mailed every 2 months or as a file emailed monthly. The reading for the day is also available on the Read page of our website. BAM also produce Bible study books and booklets. One booklet is produced every 2 months, and several earlier series are available from our website, where you will also find details of all available publications. The work of BAM is supported by donations. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, why not use the secure CAF donate form on our website's support page? And now listen to Peter Jackson and Singers as they sing, "Precious Saviour, draw me closer, closer to your heart of love. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, all my barriers remove."
Thank you for joining us today. Listen at the same time next week. Until then, this is Ken Smith saying goodbye, and may God richly bless you.